Man, I should have been like, you know what I really want and don't have is a burlap sack full of cash and a van full
so,
of strippers.
Tom, I actually have an extra van of midget strippers. Just chilling in the back collecting dust, so...
Welcome to episode 49 of the One More Castle, One More Podcast. My name's Jason Lamb, temporary host as Eric Bailey is away, and I like cheese.
I am Eric Hunter, I am the audio engineer, and I also like cheese.
I am Tom Hall, I am the N64 connoisseur, I am 2 decades late to the Super Nintendo, and you know what? I like cheese too.
All right.
The question is, what's your favorite type of cheese?
Ooh.
Well, I feel like cheddar's the king of cheese.
Ah.
But there are other special guest appearance cheeses.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Such as?
Munster. Munster's a good cheese. You know, Italian style, you've always got to go mozzarella. Nothing wrong with a little Parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Little Fontega here and there.
That's nice.
Yeah. Feta.
Ooh, feta's
all good.
Good
cheeses. Yeah.
So I know I made a big deal about American cheese, and I got a lot of slack for that.
Yeah, you did.
So I picked up some other cheese just to kind of broaden my horizon. And I do believe my favorite cheese now is Pepper Jack.
Ah.
Oh, that's a good cheese. Yeah.
I am now a fan of the Pepper Jack cheese.
That's good. Nice. That's a step up from American cheese.
I know it is.
Yeah.
Oh, you know.
Oh,
I don't
you
know.
Know.
I don't know.
Speaking of cheese, what old video games have you guys been playing?
The cheesiest old video games possible.
Mm-hmm. Super cheese.
Super cheese.
Well, I'll pull another page out of the Jason Lamb playbook.
Ooh.
I've been playing Ocarina of Time 3D, a retro game with a new skin.
Nice.
And it's, you know, kind of my favorite game of all time, so they really had to reach a pinnacle for me, and they did. It's like, I was looking at it, I was actually playing it a little bit tonight, and, like, when I was a kid, and when it was all polygons and... You know, you kind of had to use your imagination to fill in what the kingdom and, like, what Hyrule, what everything really looked like. But now, they made it look like the way I pictured it back when I was a kid. And so it was like I was playing this game for the first time. And I played it all the way through, and I finished it. And then it unlocks the Master Quest in 3D.
Nice.
Yeah. I was like, they thought of everything.
That's awesome.
Wonderful. So... I spent a lot of time on that over the last few weeks.
Nice. I actually have to ask you something. Because I've been playing it slowly. I don't think this was a feature in the original version. They seem to have added these stones randomly. And I know in the original there are stones you go up, they tell you the time, all that stuff. But now they have ones which will actually tell you what to do.
Yeah, they weren't in the original.
Yeah, is that just a new Nintendo, people can't play games, so let's spoon-feed them the...
It's a new gaming thing in general.
Yeah.
People can't play games, and we have to spoon-feed them, or they'll whine on the internet. I just kind of pretend those things aren't there.
Yeah. Like, I wandered up to one, and I'm basically telling you, okay, go here, you'll get a power-up.
Wait, like... Are you talking about the gossip stones?
Yeah, they've added these bonus ones.
Mm-hmm. They put more in there, and you don't need the eye of truth to see them, or the lens of truth, or whatever. They will literally just tell you exactly what to do next.
And they'll even show you. Go to a cutscene, it'll show Link running towards a boulder, putting down a bomb, the boulder exploding, and then like, ooh, look, you should go here.
So they don't just tell the time anymore? That's all they used to really do.
Well, those are still there. Like, the ones that were in the original are still there. They've added these.
Are they different colors, or...?
They have green on them. So, like, there's one outside Link's house, and there's one in the Temple of Time. I don't know. I didn't encounter any other ones that I can remember. But it's just... I have to ignore that kind of stuff, or I will just... It's not okay. Like, come on, guys. Grow a set and get through the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not weird. I mean, that's... I don't see the point in that. Like, I guess it kind of makes sense. I mean, with, you know, DuckTales Remastered coming out the past couple of days, which when you hear this, it'll probably be much later. But there's a big divide of people who really enjoyed the game and people who didn't enjoy the game. And it seemed like, at least from the reviews that I was reading, it seemed like the people who really enjoyed the game played the NES cart, you know, back in the day and were familiar with the difficulty. And people who weren't familiar with it or had forgotten about it and had been too busy playing modern games felt like it was too difficult, you know? Yeah. So,
well, just like games in general have just gotten dumbed down on their difficulty badly. You know, this is, you can, like, buy your way through most games now if you're so inclined. Yeah. Or, you know, before the game even hits the shelf, there's, like, 7 wikis on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all the DLC you could ever want.
Oh, yeah. Horse armor it up.
it's awful. It's just...
Yeah, weapon skins.
Oh, God.
Where's my pillow mod, Jason Lamb?
Knight, I will build you that pillow mod you asked for.
Wait, I think you were supposed to build me a mod, weren't you?
I can't remember what it was. I figured out the pillow one pretty quickly, though.
Jason Lamb, quick with a pillow.
So I guess you should describe the pillow mod.
All right, the pillow mod. Okay. Tom essentially on Twitter asked me to go make a Call of Duty mod to allow pillow fights.
Yes, I did.
And I think maybe 2 minutes later, I responded with how to do it. You basically just swap out it's the quick and dirty way. You swap out the knife model with a pillow. You go into a file called damage.gsc, control weapon damage. So you scale that down. Then you just go into a melee-only server, and you're great. It's a pillow fight.
Wow.
It's hilarious.
Do you also hear gigglings of girls?
If you want. That's version 2 of the mod.
Oh, okay. Yep. So we're still in alpha.
Yeah, that'll take a little longer. Mm. We'll even get some custom animations in there, because right now you're just going to be stabbing with a pillow.
It's not really a fight anymore. It's more of a massacre.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's even funnier, really.
Stab you with my pillow.
So what about you guys? Have you guys been playing any old games?
Hunter?
No.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Like?
I picked up Bible Adventures for the NES.
Ah, one of the unlicensed Joshua Trees?
Wisdom Tree.
My apologies.
Wisdom Tree.
Sorry. Sorry.
Nope. It's all right, man. I mean, so for those who don't know, during the NES lifespan, there were quite a few companies that decided to make unlicensed games because it was next to impossible to work with Nintendo at the time. Now they're more than happy to take anybody who wants to make games for them. But back then, they weren't. One of those companies was actually Tengen with Shinobi and Rolling Thunder and... So there's actually a lot of great games that came out of not being licensed by Nintendo. And then you get a game called Bible Adventures, which is created by a company called Wisdom Tree. And there are actually 3 different games within the game of Bible Adventures. There is Noah's Ark. There is David and Goliath. And there is Moses' mom something or other. Anyway, all 3 games practically play the same. The sprites are a little bit different, but so like the one that I put the most time in with was David and Goliath. And in David and Goliath, you have to go around this, you know, side-scrolling world and pick up sheep and take them back to your hole. I'm not a big religious Bible kind of guy, but for some reason apparently David only had 4 sheep. Because there's only 4 sheep. It's not like, you know, you get to the next level and it's 5. Or the next level is 6. You know, it's always 4. You're only collecting 4 sheep at a time. He has the strength of probably 10 men. Because you can actually carry all four sheep at once. Not too sure how that works. And while carrying all four sheep, you can also climb trees and walk on the top of trees. Now, scattered throughout every level and all three games are these little, you know, they look like the tablets from the Ten Commandments. And you pick one up, and they're game hints. And some of them are Bible verses. So I was running through trying to figure out what to do, because I've never played this game. I don't know how to jump or anything like that, or what the hell I'm supposed to be doing anyway. So I see this little commandment tablet, and I pick it up, and it's like, oh, well, if you want to run faster, hold down B. Excellent. Go and find the next one. And it gives me a Bible verse. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't understand how this is supposed to help me beat this game to know that, you know, he journeys through the shadow of death, and it's an awful game. And apparently Wisdom Tree made quite a few Bible adventure games, both on the Genesis and the Super NES. So
they made one. I was playing it. I went and visited, I don't know if you guys know Video Game Rescue up in, or that's his name on Twitter, but he has a store up in Jacksonville, and I was visiting him, and he had that in his store, and there's one that's literally a original Legend of Zelda clone. And so, yeah, you go into the cave to get the sword, but it's like a slingshot instead.
Oh, okay.
Like, I can't remember what he says, but it is not, it's dangerous to go alone. It's something...
It's something...
Biblic-ish.
Yeah, biblical.
Yeah, but so, like, you go and you, like, there's all these ruffians, and as you shoot them with the slingshot, they drop to their knees and pray, and then they become an angel. And then you have to collect these spirit doves.
What? Spirit doves?
Spirit doves, that's what you're collecting. Right. And I don't know what the correlation is, but between that and, like, you progressing through the game, I didn't get very far. I was mostly upset that it was a Zelda clone.
Yeah.
And I was like, this offends me both as a gamer and a Christian. And I was like, there's no redeemable quality.
None whatsoever.
In any of this. I didn't play any of the other ones.
So I should avoid this game.
If you could.
All right. Will do.
I would also avoid Bible Adventures for the NES.
Okay.
Because, I mean, sadly, like, the... Like, I know the core is supposed to teach the, you know, the teachings from the Bible, and that's great. Like, that's... Using video games to do that, that's an excellent way of doing it. But the way that the game is designed, it feels like the Bible verses get in the way. You know, because it's like, I just wanted a game hint. That's all I wanted. Like, if you want to give me before the game starts and after the game starts, I'm fine with that. But, like, if I'm playing, like, I don't want to be interrupted. And I feel like I'm interrupted.
Fair enough.
We now return you to your regularly scheduled game.
Yeah. Talk about slow down in a game. There you go.
Some pacing issues, you would say.
Yes. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Nice. Jason?
I've actually been on a Star Wars kick the last couple of weeks.
That's okay.
So I've been playing Pod Racer for the N64.
What?
Yeah.
Because I love that game. I picked up a... I've got a US... Okay, I don't have an N64, so I've been playing ROMs. But I picked up a USB adapter that essentially allows you to plug an original N64 controller into your computer, which is working great. But I actually was recommended by, let me pull it up, Newcastle Arcade on Twitter. That's at Newcastle Arcade. This company, Retrolink, makes USB N64 controllers.
Yes.
So I haven't heard good things in the past, but he recommended it, so he said, hey, I want a second one anyway. I have my friends over, we can play. I'll go pick one up. It works great. It's fantastic. It's like having a new N64 controller back in 1997.
Ah, like
really?
The thumbstick is fantastic. Yeah. So I haven't been using the original anymore. I'm just playing with this USB one. So the only thing I'm disappointed in with Pod Racer, it is severely easy. You just keep boosting, and it's like, I haven't seen a guy the entire time.
Right, yeah. But,
so I played a lot of that, and then I played some Cruisin' USA.
Now that's a fun game. Cruisin' USA, man. That brings me back. What's your car? What's your car of choice? I'm gonna say you're gonna go for the school bus, Tom.
I the police car.
I haven't unlocked either of those.
What?
You didn't unlock it. They're not there by default.
I don't think you have to unlock it. I think you just push up on the...
Push up?
Yeah, C up.
Ah, son of a... I never owned the game as a kid. My friend had it, so I've just been using one of the stock cars.
Now, there are cars in the game to unlock. They're like different paint jobs, but other than that, the cars are already there.
You are right, though. I would have been using the school bus if possible.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. I actually, when I was playing that back during its original time, I would always take that like Mitsubishi Eclipse type car.
Yeah.
Because
that's the one I've been using.
Well, it's because I like the third person behind view, and that was the only one I could really see around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what one of the issues that plagues with the Jeep and the school bus. So that you can't see really where you're driving unless if you're first person.
Okay. Yeah.
Come on, Jason. Jeez.
I used to
play that in the Walmart vestibule.
Nice.
In the arcade version.
That's awesome.
It had the Ultra 64 stickers on it and everything.
Nice.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Had I have known what would have happened, I'd have taken pictures.
Yeah. I was looking that up. They actually lied about that. It wasn't running the Ultra 64 hardware. They used a custom chip that was more powerful. But
that's because it looks like crap.
Oh, you should see how bad it looks when scaled to full HD.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, the sprites are huge.
Yeah, that'll be better in a, you know, like a 4:3 ratio. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Speaking of looking better in 4:3, we've got a viewer discussion question this week.
I don't know what we're doing anymore.
I believe that is a slight jab at Bailey's segues.
Oh.
This question is actually from Newcastle Arcade, who recommended me the controller that I've been using.
He's on fire for this show.
He is. He's great. So here's what he says. Longtime listener, watcher, and constant Twitter and YouTube commenter here, Newcastle Arcade, dismayed at the lack of listener questions from this week's podcast. So here's a couple off the top of my head. 1. What is the approximate size of your games collection? 2. Are you trying to collect, play, achieve a specific goal, i.e. total collection for X system or all items in X game? And 3. What console gaming system would you most like to own at the moment and why? Love the cast, guys, and after I move houses in a couple months, I'm definitely hitting you up for a cameo appearance from Down Under. Chris, a.k.a. Newcastle Arcade.
Yeah. Woo. Have you guys ever had an international guest host? I mean, I don't think Canada doesn't count, but...
Yeah. Sure it does. It's over the pond, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, this is like a whole different hemisphere.
Yeah, we haven't had a non-North American guest host, I believe.
It's true.
It could be him. It could be Newcastle Arcade.
There we go. All right.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll start with question 1. What is the approximate size of your game collection?
Give me a second to look it up.
All right. You have it, Ark.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
I guess I'll go in the meantime. I'm just estimating, but it's close to 700.
Wow.
I have several consoles, and then that's counting my digital downloads, so like my Steam games, the stuff I've gotten from GOG.
Those don't count, Tom.
So they count. They are games, and I can play them, and I purchase them with money. They count.
I really hope they count, because I'll have nothing.
So it's also, you know, Xbox arcade games, but then I have, you know, a ton of consoles. So I've got, you know, all of the Nintendo consoles. I've got all of the Sega consoles, except for the CD. I got, you know, PlayStation 2. So I have, like, all of this stuff. And I got a 3DS, and I have a Game Boy Color. All of that stuff needs games. And so I have a bunch of games.
Nice. That's a sizable amount. What about you, Hunter? Don't shake your head.
Well, for physical media, which was what matters on this podcast, 683.
Wow.
Nice. That's good.
And that spans over probably 14 consoles, I would guess, if you count the 5 iterations of the original Game Boy that I have. You know, like the Game Boy Color and the Game Boy original Game Boy, and then the Game Boy, the small one, whatever that one was called, and the thin, and the advanced, and the other advanced, and the it just goes on. I've got more Game Boys than I know what to do with. And I have the Super Game Boy and the Game Boy Player. So I should probably play Game Boy games more.
I was going to say.
So, 683 physical carts.
Wow.
I mean, impressive.
Tom.
What? It didn't say physical carts. It said games.
It did say games.
Are you going to count Solitaire and Minesweep, too? Is that what you're going to do?
Oh, right. 702.
Oh, you...
If I count my Steam games, I have 334 Steam games.
Nice.
Physical? Let me look at my shelf behind me. I'm gonna guess 20. Most of those are PC games and boxes.
Well, see, that's neat though. I think that's cool. If you got like the old big box PC game,
they're mostly DVD boxes. Yeah, I got one jewel case, like, Windows 95 game.
Okay, but, what's that?
Let me check.
Oh, just as an editor's note, we will edit all of this out. Oh, wait, he's back.
I'm back. It's full throttle.
Nice. That's a fun game.
I haven't played it.
Oh, God.
I picked it up this year at a Goodwill. For $2.
Wow.
So it's like, it's in perfect condition. I'll buy that for $2.
It's a fun game, Jason.
I know.
Play
it. I know. I'll play it eventually.
Can you, though?
Open your DOSBox.
Oh, yeah. I'll run it through DOSBox.
If anybody can get an old game to work on a PC, that's Jason Lamb.
Well, don't forget to mod in the pillow fight.
Oh, I probably will.
Very nice. Very nice.
I guess we'll move on to the second part. Are you trying to collect, play, or achieve a specific goal with your gaming collection? It's like, are you a total collection for a system, or achieve something in one game specifically?
Well, I'm trying to collect all of the North American N64 releases. So, that's 296. I am at 122 right now.
Nice.
Yeah. I just picked up Monopoly this weekend.
I love Monopoly.
It's a good find. Nice. Yeah. I think that's just... There's one on every possible system.
Yeah.
That should be my collection if I ever finish it. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I ever finish the N64 collection, just make sure I have Monopoly for every system I own. That'll be the next one. Total Monopoly.
Nice.
I'll have a Monopoly on Monopolies.
Very nice, Tom.
Yeah.
Me, I don't really have any ambitions to collect an entire, you know, game list for a particular system. Once I finally started cataloging everything, I was realizing that there was a bunch of games that I had that I'd lost either through moves or borrowing them to friends that I had forgotten about, and years have gone by and now they're just gone missing. So I'm slowly starting to build up my childhood collection. And if I see a game that's for a couple of bucks and I'm like, yeah, I got a couple of bucks, I'll burn it on this.
Yeah.
But basically there's only maybe 10 to 15 more games to really bring me back to what I had when I was a kid. So I guess I'm almost done collecting. That's never going to happen.
You fool.
That's never going to happen.
I'm going to say, because I buy 99.9% of everything digitally, it's really hard to approach it from a collecting goal. I will agree with you. There's a lot of games I wish I didn't get rid of when I was a kid. But they're all on floppy disks or the massive 5 1/4 floppies.
Right.
And you can't really play those anymore. Unless I went and got like a USB disc reader.
Well, I mean, you could always make a 3.1 system. I'm sure you could probably do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I could probably do that.
Yeah.
I think I might actually have some still at my work, to be honest. I could probably just take... But
I'm just going to take these.
I'm just going to take these. We can't use these anymore.
Precious.
I do like a trend now. They are releasing these old games digitally, so it does let me go back and go, oh, here's a game I got I loved it in my childhood. I'm going to buy this again. I'll play it again. Half the time doesn't live up to what I remembered, but I still get to play it again.
I should have left you as a memory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of those.
Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah.
It's okay, though. What? I still got them.
Oh, yeah. That's the point, right? They're there. In case you change your mind.
Right.
His third part of his question was, what console system would you most like to own at the moment, and why? I'm going to say for you guys, because you do own a bunch of consoles, which one that you don't have?
I would like to pick up an Atari 2600. I don't have one, and I need one, because it has... That's probably the console I don't have with the most games that I remember, because that was okay. What we had when I was very, very young until I got my NES. That's what we played, you know, so, you know, played Video Pinball and River Raid and, you know, the Atari version of Pac-Man, which I didn't know there was better versions. I was just, you know, there was like a bowling game that was, you know, incredibly simplistic, but super fun. You know, I miss those games, and you can get them on emulator, but...
It's not the same.
Still.
No. Sims holding the joystick, or if you got the paddles, and, like, if you were an imaginative kid like me, you'd turn them sideways and pretend it was a big-ass camera. You know? Or a CB. You got the rubber duck? You know. Yeah, so...
Really? That's your CB name that you go to, is Rubber Duck?
No, it was from a movie.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you, Tom Hunt.
That's true.
I was going to say, the Ataris are still... you can find them for fairly cheap.
I haven't seen one for under, like, $60.
Yeah, I'm looking at one now on eBay. It's $52.99, but it comes with 10 games, and they just have to pay shipping on top of it. I'm not sure what the shipping would be to somewhere in the States. It's $50 up here to Canada, so...
It's probably totally not cheaper. Worth it.
Yep.
Okay, one console I would want, the ZX Spectrum, hands down.
Ooh.
I'm a big fan of the YouTube series Classic Game Room. If you ever watch the Classic Game Room, it's a guy who's got, his collection's enormous. And one of his favorite consoles is the ZX Spectrum. And every once in a while, he'll do a review of a Spectrum game. And I actually found one at a local game shop. It looked almost perfect in condition, mint, worked great, the controller and the joystick was fine, and the jackass that runs the shop refuses to sell it to me. I was so upset. Like, I saw that, and I was like, I'll take that. And he's like, oh, no, no, that's not for sale. I was like, yeah, it is. How much?
Yeah, it is.
So...
Here's a check with my signature.
Yeah, like, that's, like, because that's exactly what it was. So he can play it when he gets bored?
Ah, it sucks.
So
There's a game store here that has a power glove that he won't sell.
That's crazy, man.
It's not quite as disappointing as having a ZX Spectrum and not selling it, but
right.
It's a similar scenario, so I can relate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I couldn't believe it, because I was like, I've never seen one in the wild before, and I was like, oh my god, I want this. How much is it? He's like, that's not for sale, guy. I was like, oh.
I hope that's exactly what he sounds like. Yeah. You see?
Yeah, it's not for sale.
You can't have it. Mm-mm. It's my Spectrum. Yeah.
You know, wisecracker. Jason takes a drink of water.
I do. Answers. I'm going to say it's the TurboGrafx-16.
Oh,
it's the only console I had as a kid. Well, a young kid, until I went and bought my own N64. But I was at my local game shop last week when I grabbed that USB N64 controller. And they had a sealed copy of World Class Baseball, which I played nonstop as a kid, for $10. And I almost bought it. And then I was like, I don't even have one of these system. What am I going to do with this?
Just put it on your shelf and marvel it.
Just marvel at it. Just like, yes. Game number 21 on my shelf.
That's right. Big Bad 21. CIB, baby.
But if I see a TurboGrafx-16 for fairly cheap somewhere, I'll pick it up. They're seem to be going for like $150 minimum now.
That's not bad.
That's not too bad.
How much do the games run usually?
From what I saw in the store, that was one of the super mass produced ones, so about $10 for those. I'm sure some of the rarer ones will cost you more. And mind you, it was a system that pretty much flopped in the North American market, so.
Right.
Because it was like $11,000.
Yeah. We only had one because my dad won it from a radio contest.
Nice.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it only sold 2.5 million here, so.
So you might actually be better off picking up a PAL version and just getting a power converter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might actually.
Except for the shipping.
Oh, that'd kill me. Yeah.
I was actually, speaking of like low sales numbers, and Hunter's going to hate this, I was actually looking up the Pippin. It only sold like, it was like 40,000.
Right.
Or they only made 40,000 and they sold way less than that, I think, actually. Because I was like, I wonder what the likelihood is of me ever finding one. I bet it'd be valuable since there's none of them.
I think I saw the controller once at a flea market. Because I remember looking at it like, what the hell is this thing? Because it's so oddly shaped, you know?
Like, it looks like a boomerang with a trackball.
Sticks out like a sore thumb. And I just remember looking at it like, who in their right mind would ever use this? Little did I know. Good job, Jason. Man.
Yeah. Bam. On top of it. Were questions by Newcastle Arcade.
Thanks, guy. All right.
Thanks again for signing in. If anyone else has any questions like to ask us, anything would like us to discuss, send it in. I guess it's time to go to a musical break. Welcome back to the podcast. That was Super Pipe House by the Video Game Orchestra. Off their Heavy Troopa is ready to launch disc one of Super Mario RPG remixes. That's the best you're going to get. That was Super Pipe House by Video Game Orchestra.
Right out.
Right out.
Bip, bip.
All right. I guess it's that time of the podcast where we do the retro showdown.
Retro Showdown!
Alright, but first, two episodes ago, who do you think was our Retro Showdown winner?
I already know, so it'd be weird if I told you.
Hunter, do you know?
I do.
We all got the same email. All
right. I'll just say it then. It was Bailey, and the theme was co-op games, and he won with Guerrilla War over Doom Troopers and Sven Co-op.
Since he's not here, I'll just take the liberty. Oh, yeah! Okay.
You know what? Since he's not here, I'm just going to give the win to you, Tom.
Yeah! Woo!
Congratulations, Tom.
I'm number one!
Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
And as you do know, the Retro Showdown theme for this episode is puzzle games.
It is.
Because Bailey is not here, I guess I'll be the first to go.
Are you also keeping time as well?
I'm also keeping time.
You are a multitasker mofo. Oh,
that's what I've got, two monitors.
So you can keep time on one and Retro Showdown on the other.
Yep. All right. I guess I'll begin. My game for this week is the 1995 Windows-only title, The Incredible Machine 3. Solving various puzzles using Rube Goldberg-esque machines, you progress through them as you build more complicated and better giant, essentially, mousetraps. The game let you use cannons, mice, windmills, trampolines, bowling balls, pretty much anything you could think of to solve puzzles as simple as setting a mouse free or turning on a light. Because what says fun like turning on a light with a giant cannon? That's The Incredible Machine 3 for Windows 95.
I heard Hunter groaning.
Yeah, me too.
The whole time.
I'll wait.
Are you ready, Hunter?
Yes. I didn't know I was
going.
All
right.
I didn't know I was going.
You
next.
Are.
Okay.
You may begin.
So, I was actually kind of sad when I was looking through my game collection for this week's Retro Showdown. I noticed that I don't have a lot of puzzle games. Sure, I've got the staples, Dr. Mario, Tetris, everyone's favorite Zoom for the Sega Genesis. Then I remembered, back in the day, I had a great puzzle game that I never did get around to picking up. Yes, a fun, fast-paced online multiplayer game for the greatest console system ever created. That game is Choo Choo Rocket for the almighty and powerful Sega Dreamcast. The main objective of the Choo Choo Rocket is to lure the mice or choo-choos into your team's rocket, all the while avoiding those mean old cats, otherwise known as Koopa Koopa. Choo-choos give you points, Koopa Koopas give you negative points. Player with the most points at the end of the game wins. Choo-choo Rocket!
All right.
Rocket!
Rocket! Are you ready, Tom?
Am I ever?
Oh, God. You may begin.
All right. In the interest of continuing to give Hunter an ulcer, I, for this week, have selected the 1999 Flash game Collapse. That's right, Collapse. It's another match three puzzle game, except this time more blocks will emerge from the bottom? That's right. You'll have a row of colored blocks that you can eliminate by matching three at a time, and as you do, more will arise from the bottom, faster and faster, as you move through each and every level until you can no longer click any more blocks, and they reach the top of the screen. That is Collapse. It's a Flash game. It turned into a wonderful series of different PC, Game Boy games, PSP, and even made an appearance on the DS eventually. That's Collapse. Flash game. All right.
Wow, you out-Jasoned me.
Yeah! I did out-Jason you.
Flash game.
Yeah.
Not even a mod, a Flash game.
I'm playing it now.
Isn't it fun?
I didn't even know the MSN game section still existed.
Wow.
See that, guys? This is a game so good that we stopped the showdown so Jason could play it.
Wow. It's like reverse match Tetris something. I don't know.
Right. It turns your whole world upside down.
Yeah. Whatever it
by
is.
By turning it right side up.
Wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a Flash game?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, you know.
It's from Flash. Flash.
Ah!
All right. So, how... Wait a second, let's...
I can't even be angry at him.
What do you mean? All right, hold on. Let's, okay. Yep, let's pull this...
While you're doing that, I just have to say, I was 100% sure that you were going to bring Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
I did consider that one. I did consider that.
Haven't we had that already?
We have not.
Oh, I don't know.
We have not.
I didn't look... But like in my head, as soon as I heard puzzle games, like that was an absolute given. So kudos to you for not bringing that. But unfortunately, you brought
Choo Choo Rocket.
Choo Choo Rocket.
This looks awful.
Oh, Choo Choo Rocket is so much fun.
It is.
considered one of the first most popular games with an online mode.
For a console.
Yeah.
For a console that no one used online.
Yeah, you could play online with the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Did yourself online.
Yeah, Choo-Choo Rockets.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, we've already been playing Tom's game online because that's the only place you can get it.
It's the only place you need it.
So can you explain the concept of Choo-Choo Rocket to me?
So Choo-Choo Rocket, you can play up to four players at once. And the idea is to get the most mice or choo-choos into your rocket. And the person with the most choo-choos in the rocket wins. Now, the way that you get the mice into your rocket is by clicking on the squares to direct the mice or choo-choos in a particular direction so that it follows kind of like a beeline to your rocket. Choo-choo rocket.
It seems like a game that would only be good in a group scenario.
I will admit that it is more fun when you're playing with other people, which is one of the reasons that it was nice to have the online multiplayer aspect in it, because I think even Sega knew that, yeah, this game's great and you can play with with computer players, but really the fun is when you're playing with friends.
Yeah.
See, yeah, whereas Collapse you can exclusively play single player. But you can compete with your friends for high scores.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So Collapse reminds me of those games that you play like at the bar, with like the touch, the mega touch things with the at the bar. Like,
this would probably be awesome with a touch screen.
It's not. It's not any. It's not any more fun than it is in the Flash version, which is no fun.
It's a lot of fun.
So.
That's one of those games where you lose track of time itself.
It's just mindless. It's mindless clicking. Like, there's no strategy to it.
Most puzzle games are mindless clicking.
That's not true. There's no clicking in my game. There's button pushes.
That's the click of the console.
No, come on.
Yeah. It equates.
Okay, Tom. Okay. Or we could go with the Incredible Machine 3. Which is just a revamped version of the Incredible Machine 2 with an improved interface, and that's it.
It's even better to play.
No new puzzles. It's a rehash of a rehash. It's the Ocarina of Time 3D of the Incredible Machine.
Man, you better watch your step, boy.
Whoa. Hey, it had CD music tracks and extra features.
Such as?
I'm not sure. The Wikipedia page doesn't say. I'm going to assume.
So
it's more items.
So here's the beauty of Wikipedia. If the Book of Knowledge is so bored to not even put what the extra features are, I'm going to guess it's not worth putting in the first place. Because these people don't get paid to make these pages. No. They do this for free. Well, and they don't have the time to add the extra features on the Wikipedia page.
Hey, I can use the argument on your Wikipedia page for Choo Choo Rocket. Half the page is dedicated to ports to other systems.
Well, yeah.
Extra features include different box.
Yes. You have to have art. Windows.
Instruction manual is in Russian. And other selected languages.
Yes.
Now, I can't help that the Dreamcast died before it got to grace the glory of the world, and that this game became more popular on other consoles. It's still a popular game.
Didn't they port that to the Pippin?
No, Tom! No! They never ported that to the Pippin! Really?
Testy!
Pippin.
The Pippin.
Kapu Kapus, huh?
Yeah. The Apple Dreamcast.
Kappa Kapu, Kapu Kapu. It's the cats. The cats give you negative points if they go.
What?
So that's your strategy, is you direct the cats into your opponent's rockets to give them negative points.
Well, I mean, I understand the concept of cats versus mice.
Do you?
Yes.
All right.
But Why is the box art so creepy? Also, just wondering.
It's a Japanese game.
I was going to say, it looks like one of those games that define the Dreamcast for me. One of those just kind of bizarre Japanese games that no one bought.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. I'm okay with it, though.
It's out on Android now.
It's available in digital download. There you go.
Yeah.
You should be all over it.
Did they make a Flash version?
No, of course not.
Well, I'm not interested.
Did they make an HTML5 version?
No, they didn't. Towards the end of the Dreamcast's lifespan, they actually gave the game away for free when you bought a new console.
Oh, you know what's great? I actually just found a Flash version of Choo Choo Rocket.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I'm going to play it.
Just type in Choo Choo Rocket Flash.
Nice.
It's the first link in Google.
Play. Oh, it's loading.
This week on One More Podcastle, we all play each other's...
each other's games, because they're all in Flash.
Yeah, Flash.
Oh, it's even got the Dreamcast opening sound. That's so cool.
I would play this, but it'll probably cry out if I do. So.
Probably not the best of ideas.
No, you're going to want the rest of this.
You are going to want the rest of this.
Yeah, there's nothing but good coming from here on out.
Time, your game seems too easy.
Well, at level 1, it will seem too easy. But by the time you're up to level 3 or 4, those blocks are coming pretty fast, and you're going to have to match very quickly in order to keep up.
You mean you're going to have to click really quickly?
Well, yeah, match.
Click.
Right, that's how you match.
Yeah, by clicking.
Right, exactly.
Constantly.
Kind of like pushing a button on the controller.
Quickly.
As quickly as you can.
The Incredible Machine 3, even with the updated interface, it still doesn't look that good.
It's like...
It's 1995.
Yeah,
it's like an old machine.
Yeah, it's like an old... It's the okay machine. it looks just like an old crappy, Windows 3.1 interface. Like,
yeah.
Like SimCity back in the day when you first got SimCity.
Oh, that was horrible but awesome.
Such a bad interface. And your game shares it, Jason.
Space Hoops. Put the basketball into the basket. That's the screenshot in the Book of Knowledge. And it says from version 3.
How's it look, Tom?
It does,
hideous? Is hideous the word you're looking for?
I was going to go with grotesque.
You know, it's actually the same interface they use in Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Is that supposed to be?
Yeah, is that supposed to be
just
good?
Just the bar of icons at the top.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like someone, took this out of a My First Programming Kit.
Wait a second. Let me check something real quick. I'm starting to have deja vu. I wonder why. Tom, talk about how crappy your game is.
What? How awesome my game is? Yeah, sure. So, with Collapse, eventually...
Stop. The name is awful.
Why?
Collapse? You're not collapsing anything. You're clicking on same colors.
You'll collapse if you play too long because you'll have so much fun. It'll overload your circuits and you will collapse with joy. But so at some point during the game, I believe it's level 2 or 3, you start to get bombs and they'll clear out a larger portion. And then those become colored bombs. So they'll only take out one whole color, say white tiles, for example. It creates chaos on the board. It usually allows you to clear a whole lot more.
It doesn't
keep you rolling.
Create collapse on the board?
It could.
Could it?
Yeah. If the colors are below other tiles that you're clearing out, then the rest of them will collapse.
Yeah. With Flash being discontinued, is this a classic, quote unquote, you fear will disappear one day?
I would hope in my heart of hearts that someone will make an HTML5 version.
There we go.
Yeah.
No. Nope. No.
Well, they already... There's a ton of them now. They made one for Windows Phone 7.
Yeah, they made this for everything.
They did. PSP, DS. They made a...
Doesn't mean it's good.
They made a SpongeBob version.
Oh, God. I'd still play it.
Super Collapse on the Game Boy Advance.
No.
Mac OS and Windows XP.
You're not helping your argument, Tom, just so you know. Just you're
why?
Not.
It's a beloved Game Boy Advance game. Yeah.
It's a
collapse. With an exclamation point at the end. Like the
beloved.
Beloved.
Mm-hmm. Jason, didn't you bring the Incredible Machine once? Already? I could have swore you did.
Hang on.
I don't think I did.
This will be good, because then you're disqualified and I win.
No, you're not. We've already established.
You can bring somebody else's
game.
Yeah,
but not your own.
Yeah. No.
Can you?
I know you did. I just gotta find it.
I don't think I did.
Incredible machine. Let's see. Uh-oh. Oh, that's one more. No, that's one more countdown. Sorry.
That's one more countdown.
No, we. There was an article on Best Morse Educational Games.
That seemed to reference it, but no.
Yeah, I haven't brought it.
He's clear.
I'm in the clear.
I'm going to keep looking.
I can't stand by while the man is falsely accused.
Thank you.
I mean, just because he bought an awful game this week doesn't mean he's brought this awful game before.
Well, that's what I'm thinking he did.
What?
That's what it's that taste in the back of your mouth. It's like...
You know what? My game, at the very least, has options. Collapse, you're just clicking bricks.
Yeah, what options
Choo-choo
do you need?
Rocket, you're just directing mice. Mine, you can go around doing things in different ways.
Why would I want to do that?
You can launch that mouse with a...
So, like, you can click File and go to Close, or you can click the X in the upper right corner. Like, there's so many ways to get out of this awful game.
Wow. He's got a point. He's got a very good point. Control Q usually quits you out of the game.
Yeah, Choo Choo Rocket is the most Japanese sounding thing I've ever heard.
It's such a fun game. It's very fast paced. Like when you're playing, there's like a rotary thing that'll like just randomly run, and it'll either be Choo Choo Mayhem where a bunch of mice will come out, or it'll be Kapu Kapu Mayhem where there'll be a bunch of cats that come out, and it's fast paced, and you gotta run around clicking the different arrows to put them into either your rocket or their rockets.
Kapu Kapu Mayhem sounds like a special my local Chinese restaurant would run.
Would it?
Yeah.
Would you enjoy it?
I don't know. But, I mean, based on your description of it from the game, I would not.
Oh, wow. Well.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
But I mean, there's cats involved, so I guess that would be somewhat topical.
So, Jason, since Incredible Machine 3 is a ripoff of Incredible Machine 2... just with updated...
Which is a ripoff.
Hold on. Let me explain myself. With updated interfaces, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Did Incredible Machine 2 bring anything new to the gameplay?
New levels, new items.
Okay.
So they added a couple textures.
Pretty much.
And physics. Don't forget the physics.
Yeah, because you can change gravity. Come on, man.
No. But if you bounce something off a bumper, it's going to react if you bounce something off a trampoline.
Right.
Like if I were to, say, bounce a copy of this game off a trampoline and, like, into a tree or a trash can that was on fire.
Yeah.
Or a vat of acid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much the development cycle for Choo Choo Rocket.
Nah, no. Choo Choo Rocket is all about going to space, man. It's the space race... back during the Cold War in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Who'll ever forget all of those mice they shot into space that landed on the moon and planted the American flag?
Yeah, it's a memorial
mice
for all of the mice
space.
That they shot into space to get away from the evil cats.
So they left the evil cats here with us?
Well, yeah, we're
That's
the evil
awful.
Cats. Don't you get it? We're the evil cats.
So it's propaganda?
Yeah, everything's propaganda. Come on, Tom, where's your head at?
My game's not propaganda.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
Your game is propaganda. If you buy collecting like things, suddenly they disappear. You put all your money in the bank, pff, gone. Because they all look alike.
What?
You don't by any chance have cash hidden in your walls, do you?
No. kind of questions that?
Hunter
crazy.
Flips the desk over and runs.
Get in the safe. We gotta get out of here.
Quick, get the mice. Let's head for the rocket ship with all our cash, honey.
You need the mice to run the rockets. It's simple as that, man. I don't understand why this is so hard for you guys to understand.
So what? The rocket is propelled by giant wheels that these mice are running on.
It could be. It could be. Or they could be genius mice And you just need a lot of them because they're so tiny.
If they were genius mice, they wouldn't need your help.
Sure they would. Everybody needs help, man. Come on.
Not genius mice.
You know, you think Bill Gates got to where he was by himself? No.
Yes.
No.
That's science.
You think Steve Jobs got where he was?
No.
Before he passed?
Where he was by stepping on other people's dreams.
Yeah, there you go. You need help, man.
So if I you play your game, I can step on other people's dreams?
Yeah, you step on other...
dreams of having a good time.
No. You step on your friend's dreams of going to space with a bunch of choo-choos.
So the choo-choos are the cats.
The choo-choos are the mice.
Let me ask you this.
It's mouse-mouse rocket.
Mouse-mouse rocket.
At any point during the game, does a voiceover come on and say, I choo-choo-choose you?
Not that I can remember.
Well, then I'm not interested.
I'm sure Jason can mod something for you.
Probably can.
Will it involve pillows?
It will.
Yes.
It will. Will it price the choo-choos with pillows?
Just they running
look like
pillows.
Look at the yeah. Screen capture.
You're basically directing pillows into the rocket for the cats to sleep on.
Oh. Every time they run, the pillows lose a couple of feathers.
It's now a cat sleeping simulator.
Oh, that's...
Well, now Jason's interested.
That's right.
Sign me up.
You put that word simulator in it, man. He's good to go.
No matter what
it
is.
You got simulator at the end.
We should. That's what you guys should do. You and Bailey, every week, should just add simulator to the end of your game, whatever it is.
That's an awful idea.
He won't be able to argue.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You'll lose one third of the argument.
It's true. It's very true.
So, like, this week, I brought Cruisin' USA Simulator. Oh, I love that game!
It's a great game.
So, just, you know, keep that in your hat. You know, maybe you pull it out one week.
So, Jason... Great.
Yes,
Jason.
Hunter.
Let's talk about the Incredible Machine.
Hunter.
So, the Incredible Hunter? Machine. What?
What?
The Incredible Machine. Son of a bitch.
So, no, you're saying Incredible Machine.
The Incredible Machine made a lot of waves when it came out, right?
Yes, it was quite popular.
Yeah, you know, it kind of had like that underground. You know, too cool for school kind of a thing going for it. I wouldn't
quite say that. It is an edutainment game.
Cigarette pack in the sleeve. Yeah.
It was an edutainment game. It was a game designed for children.
So, how realistic is this game? Because you were mentioning physics and you were mentioning how things work together. Like, I mean...
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's a video game, so I'm not going for 100% realism, but I'm curious of, like, I mean, is the gravity practically the same? You know, the way that things bounce on other things, are they the same? And they would be in, like, real life, or...
They are to what it's programmed for. So let's say you have a piece of cheese.
Cheese.
It's going to bounce.
We already talked about cheese. Let's move on. Come on.
Yeah. It's going to bounce differently than a, let's say, a rubber ball.
Okay, but now if I bounce this piece of cheese in the game, will it bounce just as high and or low as I would if I bounced the cheese in real life?
What kind of cheese are you bouncing?
It depends on the cheese that is being bounced in the Incredible Machine 3.
Looks like a wheel of cheddar.
Okay.
It does not bounce that far.
Wait, who would waste a wheel of cheddar?
Well, in the puzzle I'm watching, you are actually... launching the Wheel of Cheddar with a can and sticks of dynamite.
So this game's unrealistic.
Well, it's as realistic as sending cats into a spaceship.
It's the Looney Tunes of video games.
It is the Looney Tunes to your, I'm going to say... something you find odd on like 4 a.m. television.
You know, they did...
Yeah.
Put mice
the in, barely legal television.
They did put mice and cats into space, so that really happened.
Did it work? Did they live?
I don't know. But
I'll bet
it's
not what they had to do to get them into the rocket ship.
Guide them into the ship? Yeah, absolutely.
No, they put them in a little.
They're not just
going to
mindlessly walk in, like.
They didn't guide them. They weren't like, hey, come over here, this way. No, not that way. Here, this way. Look out for that cat! Come on, quickly.
And while your game only puts the mice and cats into the ship, my game will actually let you launch a ship with a mouse.
That's good. He's got me there. I got nothing. Damn you, Jason Lamb.
And Mikey will give you something to do for the ride.
There you go.
Yeah.
Together, we have a full space program.
That's right.
Suck on that, Cabal.
Yeah, I was going to say, see what Cabal's got on us. One more podcast, or what?
Space for life.
Oh, God. We got mice going to space.
One more space castle. That's what we're doing.
There you go. There you go.
And with that, I'm going to ask, what are your closing comments on your game? Hunter, you go first.
I will go first. Come on, Tom. This guy. If I were the listener, I would choose Choo Choo Rocket. Nay, I would harness the power of Choo Choo Rocket and vote with your mouse. Because there are mice in this game that are going to space only with your help on the Sega Dreamcast. And apparently a Flash game that Jason found earlier this evening. Choo Choo Rocket!
Tom, how about you?
Well, since Hunter's so opposed to clicking, you shouldn't click on his, but you should in fact click on the 1999 Flash release of Collapse, because it was an amazing piece of innovation in the match 3 puzzle genre that had you moving up instead of down. It had innovative things for a Flash game, like bombs and colored bombs, and it was a good way for you to have hours and hours of fun.
Why do they gotta be colored bombs, Tom?
Because Collapse, son!
Why do they gotta be colored?
Alright. I guess you should vote for the Incredible Machine, because...
You guess?
I guess. It's the only game where you can set off a cannon using a combination of gears, a pulley, a mouse, and a block of cheese. That's the Incredible Machine 3 for Windows 95.
You can't really do that, can you? Are you serious? That's how you solve the puzzles with a mouse and cheese?
You could. Sure.
How am I supposed to figure that out? It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Does anyone have any shoutouts?
Tom does.
Okay. Well, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Ocarina of Tom. You can check out my quest to review every North American N64 release at ocarinaoftom.com. Check out my rights at officialvghc.com and onemorecastle.com. And how about a random Twitter shout-out? Today, it is... You know what? Master James at master_James_.
Is there any more? Is that it? Just...
Hold on.
Okay.
All right. How about you, Hunter?
You can also find me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My blog is ericmhunter.net, and shout out the live crew. What do you think?
Go for it.
All right. We got Lyrical C, Newcastle Arcade, Captain Knucklehead 1, and I can see that there's more, but those are the only comments we have. So thanks, guys and gals and people in said chat room. Shout out to you.
All right, and as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. I'm going to give a shout-out, actually, to Newcastle Arcade as well for recommending that fantastic USB N64 controller. I'm quite enjoying it. And other than that, tune in next week for episode 50 of One More Podcast.
I hope you guys don't do a clip show. It'll be awful.
I've got too many other things to do. It's a lot easier just to do a live broadcast. Clip show.
And remember, folks, are you a bad enough dude?
It's not a question, Jason. It's a statement.
To rescue the president.
Who picked you to be the host?